It was interesting because I had always thought that having children would get in the way of the writing, get in the way of the work and impede my so-called career. But what wound up happening is it actually wound up creating my career to a large degree.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This week's The Art of Fatherhood podcast is being brought to you by Gladly Family. Make sure you use the code The Art of Fatherhood for 20% off your order. One of the things we talk about here on The Art of Fatherhood podcast is being prepared as a parent. When your first child arrives, there are so many things being thrown out at you. Being prepared when it comes to your baby will help you out big time. Trust me on this. This is where Gladly Family comes into play. They offer practical, thoughtfully designed, and dependable products that offer tremendous value to new families. From all-terrain stroller wagons like the Anthem 2 and Anthem 4 stroller wagons that combine style and performance to the Merit Play Yard that can be used from birth and beyond. The Gladly Family also has a fantastic pod diaper bag that has a changing station and a travel cot that allows you to bring everything you need, plus space for your baby to get changed safely or take a snooze wherever you and your baby go. How cool is that, right? Talk about being prepared. The Gladly Family believes that families have enough on their plate, so they don't want families to overpay for gear and end up with less features. You're buying products for your child. You want quality. You want products that are easy to use. You want products that are durable. So if you're a new parent, make sure you go to gladlyfamily.com to check out the Merit Play Yard, the Pod Diaper Bag, and the Anthem 2 and Anthem 4 stroller wagons, and so much more. Check out all those products at gladlyfamily.com. Make sure you use the code Art of Fatherhood for 20% off your order when you go to gladlyfamily.com. That's gladly, G-L-A-D-L-Y, family.com.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for another edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. I'm very happy to have Craig Gerber. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Yeah, man. Big fan of your work. My kids are now 14 and 12, but the stuff that you worked on in the past, we loved. And we're going to get to that in a second. But we're also going to talk about your new series, Firebuds. Congrats on that. But of course, I like bringing good guys like yourself to talk about their fatherhood journey. For you, talk about your parenting journey when you found out you're going to be a dad for the first time. What was going through your mind, sir?
I was pretty stunned and shocked. I mean, it was something we knew we wanted to do, but you know, I was out here in Los Angeles, trying to be a screenwriter, which you never stop doing. It seems you're always, even when you do it and you've done it, you still, you're like, I'm still trying. And so, you know, it was interesting because I had always thought that, you know, having children would get in the way of the writing, get in the way of the work and impede my so-called career. But what wound up happening is it actually wound up like creating my career to a large degree.
Nice. Well, I'm just kind of curious because I love that answer. And, you know, a lot of guys think about, you know, oh, the financial aspect of being a dad and what, you know, where am I going to do with my life and all that other stuff. But like, talk a little bit about how they kind of helped out your career, because that's a great way to look at things.
Absolutely. So yeah, you have a child and the pressure's on, right? And at the time, I think when I had my first son, I have three sons, one just started high school, one just started middle school, and the other's in second grade.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. and when the first one was born, things had been going really well in my screenwriting career. I was a live action screenwriter for a while. And things were really looking up and I was working. And then it was right when the economic downturn happened in 2008 and things really changed after that. And so there was this pressure and there was a little worry, but at the same time, cause I wanted to really be there for my kids and be a dad. And you know, a year later, it's 2009, I started working in animation. I was working on the Tinkerbell movies they were making, and it was getting to be the time when my son, you know, we were starting to show him TV and we were like looking at what was out there for young kids. And there was very little, there were some shows we liked, but not a lot. And so I thought, you know, I started thinking about, gosh, what kind of show would I want to have on television that my son and I could watch together, not just him by himself, but the two of us. And so I then got the opportunity, because I'd been working at Disney in a different division, to pitch a show to the TV side. And because I had that young child who, you know, I could like look, be next to him and look through his eyes at what he liked and what I liked and what we liked together. That helped me come up with the idea for my first show.
Oh, love it, man. Yeah. And I appreciate you wanting to make shows that you want to watch together as a family. All parents listening, this is like, thanks. Thank God for Craig. Talk a little bit about, I mean, I'm guessing creativity and just, you know, kind of thinking outside the box might be some value, but talk about some of the values you're looking to instill into them as they're growing up.
It's interesting. You know, it's when I was growing, I was a kid, my dad worked a lot and he wasn't around a lot. And my parents got divorced when I was young. So then there was even less time around. But so I really wanted to be a present father, even though I work a lot and the job's demanding. And so, you know, some of the values I like, you know, I like to spend time with my kids. I don't know that I'm the wisest dad per se, but, you know, I really try to instill this idea of personal responsibility in them. And that's sort of a global thing. I mean, that covers everything from like cleaning up your room to showing up for somebody when you say you're going to. It really, believe it or not, I mean, it covers a lot of ground. Just being, you know, a mensch, as they say, in all ways. And so I think there are other things, but that's probably the biggest.
Nice. Two more questions before we get into Firebuds. On the parenting side, for you, what is something that your kids have either taught you about yourself that maybe you didn't know was there until you had kids, or about life? Like, what is a life lesson that your kids have taught you?
Patience. I mean, it's like, I don't even have to think about that one. Yeah, what they taught me. I mean, I learned that I'm more impatient than I thought I was, or maybe I just knew, but hadn't really had to confront it. But they've helped me be a more patient person. They've helped me be a more thoughtful person in the sense of how I react to things not going the way they should go. So in that sense, they've actually helped me be a better manager, right? Of the crew, because it's a different situation. But, you know, when you're a parent, your father or mother, you know, you get these kids coming at you and they don't even, their brains aren't even fully developed. So they're just coming at you full bore of these emotions. And you know, you have to learn that it's not about you. It's not personal. You got to keep your emotions in check. You got to try to kind of react in a caring, nurturing way with discipline, but in a calm, nurturing way. And there is a way to do it. And it's not how I think most of my generation was raised. It's a new type of parenting, but it's much better.
Yeah.
And it works. It really does work. So, you know, it's always a work in progress, but that's something that I've, you know, how to be calmer in how you respond, you know, react to tough situations.
I love that answer. And it seems like, you know, I've had a chance to chat with other executive producers on animated series and stuff for Disney, and someone also said, like, having kids has helped me be a better producer.
Yeah.
Because everyone works differently and you kind of manage your time and manage your expectations with everyone. So I love that. Dad hack or piece of advice you'd offer to new dads, what would it be?
Whew, oh my gosh. I have to get. So one of the things about parenthood, as you probably know, or at least for me, is that you go through, you know, you go through the terrible twos and the terrible threes, and it's the fearsome fours, and it's the frustrating fives. And you're like, wait, I thought it was supposed to get better. And so you get all the way to seven and you're like, oh, okay, finally, more or less. and so, you know, but then you block out, you're like, wait, what were the hiccups? What were the things I really had to figure out? I mean, look, for a new dad, you know, these are the two hacks. One of them's emotional, one of them's physical. Changing tables don't come with this. You want to take a piece of cardboard, thick cardboard, and put it at one end of that changing table, because there is going to be a moment where that kid has an explosion and you don't want it to go all over the room. So that's one hack. All you do is just get a piece of cardboard from like a dress shirt or whatever, you know, like something, got a photo in the mail. It's a backstop. That's not what I called it. I called it something else with stop, but so that's one. And two, and this is important for dads. This is like emotional. So when you're not going to get a lot of sleep when you're a new dad, and those first 5 months, 6 months, the mom, I mean, this is traditional. So obviously you know, whatever your family situation. But if it's a man and a woman, the mom's going to get the love and the dad is going to be like, have all the sleep deprivation, but none of the love yet. It comes. So there's going to be a point around 5 months where you're going to be questioning why you even thought that was a good idea. And it's just sleep deprivation and lack of like immediate gratification. And it's going to pass. It's going to pass. The kid's going to get on the schedule and they're going to start to actually kind of look at you like you're someone important and it'll all get better. But at that moment of 5 months, you're going to be like, you're not going to be a happy camper. Great. No one told me this. And every person I've told that to has thanked me later for warning them.
Well, I'm thanking you for that because those are two great pieces of parenting advices that I hope people take. So I love that. Firebuds, man, congrats on this series. Like I said, you're no stranger to great animation and you're executive producing this. Talk to me about the show and maybe the inspiration because, you know, your kids are a little bit older, just like mine. But the fact that, you know, I think any good show, people can sit down and watch together as a family. But for you, talk a little bit about the inspiration for Firebuds.
Yeah, Firebuds was inspired by my youngest son. Almost directly in a way that even the other two shows weren't that I created. So, you know, he's seven now. When he was three, he was obsessed with fire trucks. And that's not unusual, but he used to carry around this fire truck like it was his best friend. And, you know, when he had the fire chief outfit on and the whole nine yards. And, you know, I was thinking like I'd been working on these princess shows, Sophia the First and Elena of Avalor for years. It wound up being a decade in the land of Disney princesses. And I was trying to kind of spread my wings and look for something new. And so I was looking at my son with his fire truck. And I just, you know, a lot of like what I think a successful show, especially for children, is capturing that wish fulfillment. And I just thought to myself, you know, wow, what would he think if that fire truck suddenly came to life and was like really his best friend and they could go on adventures together and go on rescues and all that sort of thing. And that was really like the genesis of Firebuds, this idea that a kid could be, you know, his BFF would be his best fire truck friend and they would live together in the same house, in the same room, and their parents would be the co-fire chiefs. And, you know, the idea expanded from there to involve their next door neighbors who are the kids of EMTs and EMVs, which is an emergency mechanic for vehicles in our world.
Yes.
And then police officers in the other house. And so, you know, Bo and Flash, Bo's the human and Flash is the kid fire truck. They team up with their next door neighbors to go out in their neighborhood and learn how to be rescuers on a smaller scale than their parents, you know?
Yeah.
And the other part of the inspiration for the show was just the first responder aspect of it all, because I really felt like there was a need for a show just to kind of focus on that. And what a great way to do it with talking vehicles.
Yeah, no doubt. Especially with, you know, the pandemic and everything going on and people are saying like, you know, oh, thank God for the first responders and all that. And sometimes that might go, but like, this is a, you know, a nod and a thank you letter to them. Right. And the fact that like, I bet your youngest is like, this show is amazing. And like, are you going to come alive, right? Looking at his truck. I love that. So I appreciate that. And one of the things also too, Disney, I think, has great messages, great stories. Like you said, you want to build something that's fun for kids to watch, but parents to watch with their kids. But there's good messages. Like my wife and I, even to this day, watch a movie. We'll talk like, oh, what'd you guys think of the movie? What were some of the main points that maybe the director or the actors were trying to portray, right? So for you, as the executive producer of Firebuds, what is something that you hope families will take away, some of the messages they will take away from watching the series together?
One of the things I love about working in animation geared towards children and families is that positive messaging is welcome, right? Right? Like we have a theme in every show. It's a message that, you know, whatever you do, I think whatever your job is, you want to feel like you're putting good out into the world. I think, I mean, that makes it more satisfying overall. And so, you know, doing a show where there's positive messages in every episode is very fulfilling and something that's very important to me. What I love about Firebuds is the overall message of this show is about the spirit of volunteerism, thinking of others before yourself, putting your community first. And these are themes that, you know, it seems obvious, right? But it just, I don't know, in this moment in time, I actually think that it's an important message to be out there. Everything, I don't know, for whatever reason, it seems like, you know, people are so busy and out doing their own thing. And maybe sometimes it's easy to forget about your community and pulling together, or like thinking about, hey, you know, let me do something that helps everybody else around me because I'm part of this community. And that's what Firebuds is all about. So I'm really excited. That's the overall theme. Now, in every episode, there are other little themes that I think parents would want their kids to learn. And some of them are really, you know, some of them are like little, you know, some of them can be about, even if someone, you know, isn't the best person, we still have to help them. Like some of them, you know, like help people we don't agree with, or we have to find ways to get along with each other when we have disagreements. And every once in a while, the message is as simple as stay hydrated. So, you know, I generally like deeper themes, but I think it's very important.
Well, think about it this though. This I've as a coach of my kids, right? If I remember my oldest, I was coaching her basketball team, and so another dad was too. And she sometimes would listen to him and not to me because it's something that it's not your parent. But we'll say like, yeah, it's hot out there. You're playing, you know, with your friends. Make sure you drink. But if that shows like, oh, yeah, you should drink. And it's almost like they'll kind of keep that, and they'll like take away like Firebird told me to do that, so I should, you know, stay hydrated, right? So I get that. Those simple messages still need to be said, and maybe from other than parents, and to get, you know, across to the kids. I love it.
Here's hoping. And then, you know, the thing we do in every episode is we try to make whatever the issue at hand is emotionally compelling enough to keep the older kids, the parents watching. Yeah. 'Cause, you know, my experience, that's often the difference maker. Sometimes we have jokes that are, you know, age, you know, not inappropriate for kids. They're good for everybody, but like specifically geared towards the parents, you know. Yep. I've done that before, but really just trying to make a show that families can watch together and has something for everybody. That's the goal.
I appreciate you guys doing that with Firebuds. Two more questions before we finish off the Fatherhood Quick Five. I'm a big fan of animated series, voice actors. I love the stuff they do. You guys have a great cast, and I know with the, you know, it's everyone's kind of getting back to the swing of things. And I, you know, when I talk to, you know, whether they're executive producers of animated series or voice actors, they're like, I love being in the room together. First, talk a little bit about the casting, the great cast you guys have. And I'm looking forward to chatting with Oscar soon as well, but Oscar Nunez, but talk a little bit about the casting, and is the main cast maybe getting together, or just with just logistics, like not everyone's recording on their own?
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, you know, we can barely be in the room. I mean, we weren't able, most of this show has been produced from home. Okay. You know, we were greenlit a couple of weeks. We were greenlit in February of 2020. We were literally like, we didn't even have the full crew together, and everyone was sent home. So, but the cast, you know, even remotely, we were able to get a great cast. These kids are so talented. Declan Whaley, who voices Bo, and Terrence Little Gardenhigh, who voices Flash, they are just, they are unique talents. And it's not just them. We have, you know, the six main Firebuds, you know. A young woman named Lily Sanfilippo voices Axel the Ambulance, and Vivian Venser voices her roommate Violet. And we have Jacoby Swain, who's actually pops up on live action shows now. I think he was on one of the recent Star Wars shows. He does a Jaden. He's the voice of Jaden, who's our little inventor, and his police car roommate Piston is voiced by Caleb Paddock. Now Caleb lives out in Detroit. Declan lives in San Diego. So I've never been in the same room as Caleb. And even now, when we can go into studio, only some of our actors are coming in. So, you know, it's a bit of a challenge that way. It's always better to be in the room when you're recording actors. But, you know, things have started to open up. And so we do get in a little bit. Now, the rest of it, like some of our adult cast, I mean, you know, Lou Diamond Phillips is the human fire chief. Yvette Nicole Brown is the fire truck chief.
She's awesome. Nice.
Yeah. And I've worked with them before. And one of the great things in animation, you know, is if someone does great voices, you can find a spot for them in your next show if you enjoy working with them. And I was so thrilled to bring both of them. They were both the actors I had in mind for these roles. And I was so happy they accepted. And we have a good voice cast for this season. You mentioned Oscar Nunez. He's the voice of a food truck. And his roommate, so he is a food truck named Chef Fernando. His roommate is Chef Al. The voice of Chef Al is Chef Jose Andres, yes. Who, in addition to being a fantastic chef, is the head of World Central Kitchen, which, you know, is this phenomenal charity that goes around the world and feeds people who are in either disaster zones or in war zones or if just need food for whatever reason.
Talk about uplifting, information about, like, when you see a tweet, like, what they're doing, and you're like, man, that just encourages you to be positive, right, and try and help others. So I love that. Nice.
Well, one of the interesting things is, because this show is for you know, has to be okay for very small kids, you know, it's the main audience. We do have some fires, we do have some rescues, you know, we have a rescue in every show, but you know, you don't want to get too scary, you don't want to get too threatening. And so we discovered that these, like, food emergencies where you have to feed people who like are in a shelter, like, that's an easy thing to do because there's nothing too scary about feeding people. And so Jose Andres came in, and I think he may have even come up with this idea of a food first responder. That's what he considers his charity. And we've really embraced that. So there are multiple episodes where the Firebuds team up with Chef Al to feed people.
Love what you guys are doing. I know my audience is definitely going to check out Firebuds, you know, whether it's on Disney Channel, Disney Junior, and Disney Plus. Love the fact that it's accessible all over the good, great Disney platforms. One more question before the Fatherhood Quick Five. Since you got into the business into now, like, the evolution of just animated and all that good stuff, talk a little bit about, like, what advice would you, if you could, like, go back into the, you know, back in time, what would you tell your younger self as you got into this business?
Okay. Well, if you're talking about, like, just general entertainment business, you know, and it applies to animation or live action, you know, the advice is, writing is rewriting, writing is getting notes. It's never perfect the first time. It's not meant to be, it's not going to be, it never will be treated as such. And so, you know, when I was starting out in screenwriting, I would get, I was very lucky. I went to film school. One of my screenplays was featured in a showcase. I got an agent out of film school, and then the struggle began. The first script I wrote was optioned by these independent producers who eventually set it up at Disney. It never wound up getting made. But they would give me notes getting it ready to hopefully be sold to a studio. And I was very defensive. And and there was no reason to be, because, you know, as a writer or anyone in this business, the job is putting something creative out there and getting feedback and then changing it. And that's just the nature of making it better and making it, you know, making a show.
Yeah, no doubt. And quickly, that's, like, a great life lesson to teach your kids too, because there's mm-hmm. going to be things that you're and your wife are going to be telling your kids, and they'll see, like, well, why are you, like, well, I have a little bit of life experience. I know that you're coming up from a different angle and you're seeing things differently. You know, I'll tell my daughters, it's like, hey, I'm saying this to help you out. I'm giving you constructive criticism, and yeah. My, you know, so is your mom and all this other stuff, but they can give us criticism and we can take it as well. But just the idea of, yes, you are going to be defensive because it's your work, but people are trying to help you out, and you got to see that through the criticism. So I love it.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's, you definitely want to keep that in your mind, that they're trying to make it better in their way. And then you also have to figure out whether they are making it better and because you can't take all the notes all the time.
Yep.
Sometimes they'll turn into soup, but you can, but in the moment, you can absorb it all and take a beat, which is also good parenting advice, right? Whatever's happening, just, and good advice for your children. Don't react immediately, just absorb it all, take a beat, process it, you know, and then later you can take the constructive criticism or not, you know?
No doubt. Thank you very much for that. Fatherhood Quick Five, favorite family movie right now. And I know the age ranges are kind of different, but is there, even maybe for the holidays, is there a favorite family movie you guys like to watch together?
I mean, the last movie that we all were loving watching together was Free Guy. The whole family loved it. I mean, just, it was like, we watched that a lot. And I don't know that anything has replaced it. Although, you know, I'm looking forward. I think Thor Love and Thunder is coming to Disney Plus today. So
yeah, it is.
We'll see how that goes.
You guys will enjoy it. Yeah, it's cool. Favorite family song or a band, or is there an artist or a band you couldn't wait to share with them, or vice versa, especially maybe with your oldest? My, you know, they're both, your oldest isn't going into high school, freshman, so is my daughter, and we share different music tastes, right? But, like, is there a band that you wanted to introduce your kids to?
You know, yeah, I think the artist that's made the biggest impact of the ones I've presented to my children, you know, my kids are in, like, my eldest and the middle child, they're in jazz bands, so they're into jazz, and that's cool, and I've introduced them all because of jazz standards. But in terms of music that I like, Beck, I
Oh,
my
okay.
yeah, they both were digging Beck, and my middle son especially, Des, he loves Beck, and he's really kind of embraced alternative music and metal, interestingly.
Nice.
So he's a
Where is
Beck
that?
fan, he's a Metallica fan, he's a Father John Misty fan. It's
Nice.
like wide net.
Raising them right. I love it.
That's right, that's right.
Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
On a beach somewhere, you know, everyone loves the beach, they love swimming, they love playing in the waves, and it's very relaxing. Everyone can have fun and do activities, but you know, you don't have to go do this and go do that. You're not run ragged. Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. So my daughter's really little. We all love watching the Disney fairy movies that you wrote on. I remember one time my wife came home from work. We're all like, I'm making dinner, and she's like, "How's your day?" I'm like, "Oh, we watched so and so, like out of the Tinkerbell movie, and there was like bonus features on the disc, and we watched the outtakes, and they're hilarious. Like, video was great." And my wife's like, "Think you need to time out with your guy friend, just go somewhere." I'm like, "No, but they're hilarious." And like, though, like you said, like you write jokes for everybody, right? NVIDIA to me was hilarious. All the fairies were great, but video, I'm like, I like her humor. I like her, like, kind of like she's abrupt, but
I loved
favorite.
writing for Vidya when I did that. That
Okay,
was the
so
best.
favorite fairy was video your favorite? That my question was favorite fairy to write for? Did you have one?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, Vidya was the best and so much fun because you could give her all the sharp lines. You know, R Rosetta had, you know, was, you know, that she had the whole Southern Belle thing going on, so that was
Yeah.
entertaining. But Vidya was the best. Vidya was also, you know, how I first worked with Pam Adlon, who I finally, she's in Firebud. She plays the principal, so she shows up now and again. But you know, and she was also in Sophia in a role that I love, but just wasn't as recurring. And so, like for years, I'm like, I got to get Pam Adlon back on this show. But it was on in Tinkerbell on video where I first met her, and I just thought, oh my God, she's hilarious! What the perfect voice for that
Awesome,
character.
man. Very cool. And lastly, top three words you hope your sons would use to describe you as a dad, what would you want them to be?
Loving, fun, and present.
Great three words right there. People, make sure you follow Craig on Twitter at Craig Gerber underscore and on Instagram at Craig Gerber. And also check out Firebuds on Disney Channel, Disney Junior, and Disney Plus. It's everywhere. Just check it out. Support these guys. Everything you do is just fun and exciting, and it's great. Like I said, lessons and values that not only kids but parents can like also be like, yeah, that's a good, yeah, I should teach that to my kids. So I wish you and your family continued success. And again, thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you for having me, Art. This was a blast.
I want to thank this week's sponsor, Gladly Family, for sponsoring this week's show. Make sure you support the people who support me. Go to gladlyfamily.com and use the code The Art of Fatherhood for 20% off your order. Like I said before, this podcast is all about trying to prepare new dads for fatherhood, right? Gladly Family is doing the exact same thing. So help out the people that help out this show by supporting Gladly Family over at gladlyfamily.com. And also rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And also go to artoffatherhood.net. You can have a chance to check out some great articles like the weekly Dad's Doing It Right column, the Collector of the Week, and many more. Plus, you have a chance to win some very cool prizes like video games, collectibles, all that good stuff. Go to artoffatherhood.net. And please make sure you rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts because I'll greatly appreciate it to get the word out on the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.